Blog Talk Radio.
What you working for? Going hard. A big house, a new car. Live your life like a Hollywood star. But do you know who you are? Or do you know what your purpose on earth is? All the materials you worship is worth it. It ain't about money, cars, and clothes, and everything that glitter ain't gold.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. What are you hustling for?
Good question.
You say it's all about the money and not perfection of your soul. In the gutter where your mind at. Ooh, I bet the devil like that. We let him have his fun, but now we got him on the run. Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack. Sublime with the punchline. Spiritual warrior. Live from the front line. My third eye is precise as a bird's eye. Everything looks small. That's what I call fly. Before your past words gotta decode it. I'm lyrical with minds. Witness the explosion. The mouthpiece carries 16 rounds. Every 16 bars, another MC down. Do what I wanna do, the architect told me to. Destroy all you sellouts and who you sold it to. I came to bring the game, freedom and justice. Ain't no equality, ain't nobody hot as me. The techniques and bias of my survival. Lyrically, I can go my life unrivaled. Microphone checker, the diabolic one is the oppressor. But in this case, we the aggressors. I'm on the higher echelon, enlightenment. The sun is absorbed by my melanin. Black jaguars, we the best, gotta represent. Devils hate to see a black man with intelligence. Praise to Allah, I deliver the message with poetic justice, rhythm and eloquence. He left his message with those who believe. It happened in a divine rhyme scheme of things. They won't beef, but I'm a vegetarian. One nation under God, soldier, Samaritan. Now everybody raise your right hand and say, permission to fall in to Muhammad right.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jack.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who are so graciously joining us in the chat rooms and by phone, as well as our distinguished host and dear brother, Minister Friend, diamond amongst the FOI, student Dave Muhammad, in our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, and allow me to present to you our host tonight, Brother James Muhammad, who will be expounding on the time and what must be done, and the focus has lately been on the economic blueprint. excuse me, originated by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so this is something that is very critical and very important. So I pray that all of you will take notes, will join forces to pool your resources and do what we can do to get some of this land for ourselves. So without further ado, our student minister, James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister and queen, Aziza Maryam Muhammad. I'm very happy, as always, to hear your voice and to know that you got the required rest that you so sorely needed but was avoiding because of your hard-headedness, but I won't go into that on public radio.
Oh, my goodness,
however,
yes, sir.
However, I want to thank always our listening audience who participate and really make the show what it is, the quality of it, the information that is shared and dispensed, and the spirit. You all make that with the help and power of Almighty God, Allah, and I am indeed grateful beyond words. Always in the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, the Beneficent, and His help, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we thank Him for making His appearance known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great, great Mahdi. And then he, his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, making it known and him known to us all. We can never thank Allah enough for that one whom he has fashioned and shaped and prepared through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our beloved and blessed deliverer, warner, reminder, guide, and he is my, I refer to him as my personal redeemer, the spirit of truth, that one who was and is guiding us into all truth, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, once again, I'm very happy to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I want to also say that we, yes, ma'am, thank you. I want to also say that we joyfully anticipate the arrival of our dear brother, Brother Kareem Muhammad, who's been a participant on these airways and in this network. We thank Allah for him, and we look forward to hearing from him sometime in the course of our show, whenever Allah permits him and us to bless us with his arrival. For those of you who have been tuning in with some regularity, then you are accustomed to the fact that I always like to give as foundational stones to the subject matter, which by the grace of Allah we will discuss, from both the Bible and the Holy Quran. And being consistent with that, we'd like to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, the fourth verse. And it reads as follows: "And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the wasted cities, the desolations of many generations." Also, we'd like to read from Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, the 1st to the 15th verse. It's a bit long, but we ask your indulgence. It reads as follows: "Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all, Idumea, which have appointed my land. I just wanted to apologize beforehand if I mispronounced that. Which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say, unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be killed and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be rebuilt. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thy land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. And there is much, much, much more in this particular chapter of Ezekiel. Both readings represent the future and destiny of the black man and woman of America. I'll finish with a reading from the Quran, the Book of Guidance of the Muslims, from chapter 90, entitled Al-Balad, the City. And of course, we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, nay, I call to witness this city. Thou wilt be made free from obligation in this city, and the begetter, and he whom he begot. We have certainly created man to face difficulties. Does he think that no one has power over him? He will say, I have wasted much wealth. Does he think that no one sees him? Have we not given him two eyes and a tongue and two lips, and pointed out to him the two conspicuous ways? But he attempts not the uphill road. And what will make thee comprehend what the uphill road is? It is to free a slave, or to feed in a day of hunger and often nearly related, or the poor man lying in the dust. Then he is of those who believe and exhort one another to patience and exhort one another to mercy. These are the people of the right hand. Those who disbelieve in our messages, they are the people of the left hand. On them is the fire closed over. Now, dear family, by the grace of Allah and the guidance of Allah, I chose these particular readings because they point to not only the destiny and the future prophesied of the black man and woman of America, but the obligation imposed on us by that prophecy, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is making extremely and inarguably clear in his 52-week series lectures, The Time and What Must Be Done, particularly the last three, culminating in the last part of the 2013 Saviors Day address, wherein he introduced to us all the economic blueprint of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, actually reintroduced it to us all. And we will, of course, be discussing part number 32, as well as the other parts, by the grace of Allah, of that historic Saviors Day address, the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, specifically themed under the question in this part: how did the black nation become, or black people become, a consumer nation, and what we must do to change and why? You know, oftentimes, brothers and sisters, and I've said it myself, and I'm sure others listening have also uttered words of the same kind, rather condemning and judgmental, that we as black people hate to get anything on time. So we don't buy things on layaway, although we, of course, buy things on time. But it was alluding to our impatience to spend money and to accumulate things, material things, and to deprioritize those substantial things that we must have in place before we get the insubstantial things that we spend so much money on. The many billions of dollars that are spent on cars, the many billions of dollars that are spent on drugs, both pharmaceutical and illicit, on alcohol, on clothing, on partying, on tobacco, destructive things at best, but things that are secondary to establishing something of our own, something concrete, something substantial, so much so to the extent now we have become virtually a landless people. Land, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan consistently reemphasized, is the basis of all wealth. No matter what possessions we may be blessed, or in some cases cursed, to acquire, without land, they are nothing at all. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. No one knows that concept better than those of us who spend our monies on fine cars, fine clothes, and fine jewelry. And then when we cannot pay the note, the enemy, who is acting on behalf of the Lord, takes it away. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to discuss in detail, with the grace of Allah, the economic program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the third part of the Savior's Day Lecture, introducing or reintroducing that economic blueprint. And that part is titled, once again, How Blacks Became a Consumer Nation. What we must do to change and why. Thank you for allowing me those words, my monologue, if you will. It will be much shorter than it normally is tonight. I want to get the audience quickly involved in this subject matter because of the vital nature of it. But again, we want to hear from you. And again, we're anticipating very shortly the arrival of our beloved brother, Brother Kareem, who will take us further into this subject matter, along with our beloved sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and all of you. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And allow me to remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling in, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we will take your question. And, of course, those of you who are in the chat room, please type in your question, and, of course, we will ask it on your behalf. Well, Brother James, we're going to start out with a question from Sister Tia, and I pray I'm pronouncing that right. She says, how do we better associate ourselves with other races of the original family? We often say black, and others may not understand that they are included. We need to use the language perfectly.
What a wonderful, wonderful and timely question. And we do, myself included, use that word or that designation, black, quite often. But let me say from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we are taught black is not a color and it is certainly not a race or representative of a race. You know, a race has a beginning and ending, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the black man and woman, I've used it again, are Alpha and Omega. We have no beginning nor ending. Now, black, again, is not a color. It is the essence from which all color comes. And when we reference the word black, dear sister, we are talking about the creative material that was used by the God to bring himself into existence. That creative material, the darkness, the triple darkness of the universe, that's how we know that the original God was not other than black, because you can't make yourself up or create yourself up out of the darkness and be white and come out white. But black encompasses all people of color. And you know what? It even encompasses the Caucasian. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we are the original people, but he also used the term aboriginal. And that prefix ab means from or out from. And so when he called us the aboriginal people of the earth, he was referencing, of course, the original people from the very, very beginning, if such could be discerned, but he was talking about all people who are out from that original gene or that original seed or that original Adam. Now, you have different ethnic labels. You have Hispanic, you have Haitian, you have Caribbean, you have African American. All of these I would call or refer to as misnomers, improper labels based upon geographical realities, language, realities, all of which do not define the original family of the planet Earth. The original family of the planet Earth is not defined nor relegated to any geography, any cultural reality, any folklore or mores, any language or dialect or dialogue. The original family is defined by our originator, the source from which we come, and that is Almighty God Himself. So, realizing the importance of your concern, dear sister, now that these labels have come up, when these labels are not used, then sometimes people may feel excluded. So we should reference the labels, not because that's who the people are to whom we're making reference, but because they are familiar with these labels. So we have to broaden our language, but at the same time, my dear sister, when we broaden the language to use Hispanic, La Raza, Latino, or Haitian, or Caribbean as such, we must accompany that broadening of the language with an explanation that while we're using those labels, you are not bad. You are the original people, the and of the original family of the planet Earth. And we must understand that we cannot let language, geographical borders, dialect, anything, erect walls that keep us divided one against the other. So I'm with you, dear sister. We have to be sensitive to how our people think. We have to be sensitive to how our people and the labels with which our people label themselves. And we need to be inclusive in our language. And so, for my own self, if I haven't been, well, I won't apologize, but I do understand your question, dear sister. But remember, we are all of one family. One family. The original family of the planet Earth. That's black, brown, red, and yellow. And yes, even white. That might be hard for people to accept, you know, particularly some of my Muslim brothers and sisters and the conscious black people. You may be listening, but the reality of it is we made the white man. Now, you don't judge necessarily who a person is or the origin of a person by the result of their making. You must go to the source, and the source of the white man is the black man, the original man and woman of the planet Earth. So I hope that addresses my dear sister's question and concern.
Yes, sir. Tia says, thank you, Brother James. Okay, we have... Yes, and before I move on to the questions in the chat room, because we have some questions in the chat room, but, of course, all of you are on the phones. There are a lot of you on the phones, and we want to hear your sweet, sweet voices. So please, before I start calling names, y'all need to press one on y'all dial pad because we want y'all to participate. We want to hear from you. So even if you don't have a question, if you have a comment about tonight's topic, please feel free to chime in. And we're going to take a question from Jonathan. Jonathan asks, what policies do we put in place to prevent Jim Crow happening again and to protect the cities if we should build them?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful question. And the policy, first and foremost, must be the policy of love. We must learn, and as And as a result of our learning, develop a love for each other. We must love each other to such degree that we will lay down our lives for each other. And on the principle of that love, we must then come into the knowledge of who we are, how we are connected. And the policy of love, that is that overriding policy between a mother and child, or a brother and his sibling, his brother or his sister, is one that immediately causes the brother to rise up to protect the brother when that brother is under attack, or the mother to protect the child when that child is under attack, or she perceives that child may be in danger. So the basis of any policy must be love. And then with love, there must be patience. I'm going to read to you, dear brother, was the brother that answered that question or asked that question?
Yes, sir. That's Brother Jonathan.
Brother Jonathan, I want to read to you from Message to the Black Man, steps that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us that will speak to your question. He states on page 170 under the chapter Program and Position, he gives us 12 points that we must observe and then practice. Number one, separate yourselves from the slave master. Number two, pool your resources, education, and qualifications for independence. Number three, stop forcing yourselves into places where you are not wanted. Number four, make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. Number five, rid yourselves of the lust of wine and drink and learn to love self and your kind before loving others. Number six, unite to create a future for yourself. Number seven, build your own homes, schools, hospitals, and factories. Number eight, do not seek to mix your blood through racial integration. Number nine, stop buying expensive cars, fine clothes, and shoes before being able to live in a fine home. Number 10, spend your money among yourselves. Number 11, build an economic system among yourselves. And number 12, protect your women. Protect your women. I'm going to say that one more once, as we say in the language. Protect your women. You know, oftentimes, brother, the overriding move or intention, motivation among our people is acceptance. Acceptance. When we talk about we want to be treated equal, yes, that's a legitimate and rightful concern. And when we say equality, we usually reference that equality with the state of mind that it's being defined by our proximity in every sphere of life to the white man, to the Caucasian. But that's not equality, nor is that the equality that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated we want. In the third statement of wants of the Muslims, written on the back page of the Muhammad Speaks, now called the Final Call, it states, we want equality. We want equal membership in society, and here's the kicker, with the best of civilized society. Well, that might very well leave the white man out. The best of civilized society. Under the leadership of the white man, America has become a wilderness of savagery. We cannot deny that with the goings on that are both publicized and kept private, that America is a wilderness of savagery, and in its borders are animals. I was listening to the news. You know, sometimes, you know, I like to stay current, but I mean, my God, sometimes I just want to turn it off on the kidnapping, the brutalization, the rapes, the murder, people throwing babies out of cars. And, you know, it's just obviously a wilderness of savage beasts. So we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in and of civilized society. How do we do it if we're in America? We must separate ourselves. There's just no way around it. We've got to separate ourselves from the slave master. Some who are hearing me state that may say, well, I'm not going to Africa. I mean, we fought, bled, and died, and, you know, our blood foots the soil of America, and you are absolutely right. There's no question about that. So the separation referenced here is a separation of mindset. It can be physical, too. We may have to, because America is charted for destruction, not by another country, but by Almighty God, Allah himself. So we may want to hurry up and get out of here. But we're talking essentially about a separation from the mindset, the mental and spiritual disposition of America, which is nothing but diabolicism, Satanism, madness, bloodshed, thievery, murder, lying, and deceit. So the first step is separating from her in our mindset. Difficult as that may be within her borders, it is very achievable once we accept the truth from Almighty God, Allah, that is given to us through his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Acceptance of the truth will absolutely reform, reshape, and transform our thinking. This is why I believe Allah blessed us to call this show Put on the New Man. And of course, the scriptures state, put on the new man and take off the old. And that means put on the new mind and shed the old mind, the old mind of Satan, the old mind of the devil. Let us separate from America. Remember, the Bible teaches you and me, in the expressed and recorded cry of that angel in Revelation, come out of her, my people. Why? So you will not be partakers of her sins and her plague. Come out of her. Don't integrate into her. Don't strive to achieve acceptance from her or equality with her, but come out of her, my people. So I pray that that helps as an answer to my brother's question. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, all right, Florida, don't make me call y'all out. I see y'all popping up in here. Brother James, we're trying to get them to press one on their dial pad. Florida's supposed to be representing tonight. At least that's what I was told. Anyway.
Come on now.
Brother
this
Marcus.
Is where we are. I want to hear from my brothers and sisters in the seventh region. Come
right? Yeah, they all up here. I'm seeing all these 813-561s, 954s. Yeah, okay, I see y'all. Okay, listen, Brother Marcus has a question. He says, do we have anyone in the Nation of Islam that we can contact about purchasing land in Africa, and how feasible is that, Brother Marcus?
Well, that's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. However, I'm not equipped to answer it. However, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is. You know, you all have the right to write him, to access him. He's yours. I mean, he's God's first, but he's not exclusively those who belong to the quote-unquote Nation of Islam proper. No, he belongs to us all. So you absolutely have the right to write Chicago and share with him your questions. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it on particularly Twitter, certainly. But that's a good question, dear brother, and I don't have the answer in terms of who you would write, who you would talk to. But go on and write the minister and, you know, and ask him. It's your right.
Yes, sir. Okay. And we also have a question from Sister Marsha, Marshaes. Okay, Marshaes, I guess it's M-A-R-S-H-A-S. In your opinion, how do we improve relations with brothers and sisters in Africa?
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has traveled extensively in Africa. Whenever he travels, he is received as a head of state on behalf, and he consistently makes this qualification, on behalf of you, on behalf of the black man and woman of America, he's received as a head of state. Africa, according to the reports given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is in trouble. She's becoming all but decimated, used up, and of course her resources have been literally siphoned out of Africa by Europe and, of course, America and Belgium, from what I understand. There are other nations now in Africa negotiating to get access of her wealth. Now, how can we, as black people here in the diaspora, or here in America, more specifically, improve our relations? You know, as heinous and tragic as the transatlantic slave experience was and is, yet there was benefit in it in the sense that we now have become some of the most knowledgeable and educated black people in the world here in America. What we must do is unite our resources, our knowledge, our gifts, our skills, our monies, and we must come together and challenge the enemy by stating that we will no longer buy. We will no longer consume. We will no longer buy your sneakers, your sodas, your cars, until and unless you recognize us as a force, an economic and political and social and cultural force that you have to deal with here in America, and that you, not make us, I was about to use the wrong language, but that you understand the value of the quote-unquote so-called American or African-American black man and woman, that we should be the vehicle through which any negotiation with Africa should take place. Now, once we become strong in America, our African, so-called African brothers and sisters, they're looking at us, they're examining us, and they are actually waiting for us to make a move. We're around all this wealth, we're around all this knowledge, we're around all this opportunity. They are wondering why we here in America have not made our move in terms of establishing ourselves as a power. And once we do that, once we do that, then they will say to America and to Europe, we will not deal with you, America. We will not deal with you, Europe, except that we deal with you through our brothers and sisters in America and in Europe, but particularly in America. That empowers us, it empowers them, and it increases the relationship between our brothers and sisters in Africa and ourselves. Now, how do we empower ourselves here? What are they waiting for? Here again, the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, just a nickel a day, 35 cents a week, $18 and some change, I think, a month. We, as black people, in 1 year, just out of the workforce, we are over 40 million now, and according to the recited statistics, there are approximately 16 million in the workforce. If we, who are in the workforce, would just follow that schedule of a nickel a day, 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, at the end of 1 year, we will have saved $291 million, and then there's a few hundred thousand. I'm sorry I don't have, it escapes me right now, the specific amount, but it's $291 million. We then could subsidize our historically black colleges and universities. We then can underwrite the expenses of all of our schools. We could build schools. We could build hospitals. We could buy farmland. We can buy factories. And then when we become a power in America as a result of our unity under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and through the guidance of this economic blueprint set forth by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then our African, so-called African brothers and sisters will see us as a resource, and they will see us as the conduit through which they can deal with America and Europe, and we would be in such power in a few years if we just multiplied that $291 million by 5 years. 10 years, can you imagine? Then we could deal with them. We could speak for our African brothers and sisters. And we could effectively unite economically, politically, socially, and, of course, culturally. We've always had the culture. Always. But politically and economically, we could unite. And simple, isn't it? Simple sounding, isn't it? Well, let's get that can, let's get that bowl, let's get that bank or whatever, that container. And from this day forward, if we hadn't started, and dear brother who asked the question, if you hadn't started, start dropping those nickels in and talk to your family. Let them drop their nickels in and the children drop their nickels in, and we'll get it done. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your question.
Okay, we're going to take a question from the phone line. Area code 414, your mic is live.
Oh, how you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Rick Lee Muhammad from Milwaukee.
Oh, praise
is
due to Allah.
Welcome,
yeah.
Brother Rick.
Hi, how you doing, Sister Aziza, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was listening to your response. The question I had is the blueprint that the messenger has left us with, I'll say this. I've worked in the field of finance and investments for a number of years, mm-hmm. and the blueprint is fine. Now, to make it reach our people, do you think the mindset, do we need a mass group of people to do this, or do we just need a small group just to get it started? Because the one thing I know about business is this. The original idea, it starts out with someone, it's something small. And then as the momentum picks up, people kind of they fall in line. And two, we are such a people that believe in what we see. And just putting it on paper or talking about it, it's hard for us to grasp that point. So us within the body of the NOI and the conscious community, what would you do with the bean pot business to make it nationwide? See, that's a business that we can make money on as a group and in individual cities, and we haven't capitalized on the things that the messenger left us with that we have now. You know, just like right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted a bean pie, I'm in Milwaukee. You know, I had to drive all the way down there and bring back bean pie. We don't even have people in my city that's making pies on the regular.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just saying, these are problems, right? That we got a 34 problem book, though, now. We got a 34 problem. We put math on problems to come up with a solution using equations. But I'm just saying, that's a problem. That's a problem. And the other thing is, how can we make the individual mosque and study group more economic? That, mm-hmm. We're not that. We have a secretary, no business manager, and no mosque.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right, when it comes down to the economics, I'm just getting to the bare back to the basics. I mean, we have to do
I don't want to forget your question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, if you give me a chance, and then if you wanted to add something, certainly you can.
I just have one other thing I want to add. Go ahead, yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want to forget it though. I think the first part of your question was it necessary to have a mass of people do this all at once, like the whole or the majority of the 16 million do it for it to get started? And the answer to that is no. Everything in life starts small and then grows in time.
Mm-hmm.
We are asking and exhorting and appealing to everyone to start, but those who do start and have the mindset to start, rather, start.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, it will catch on, but start. Just keep mm-hmm. putting it away until we get the instruction as to what to do with it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. But in the meantime, start. Whoever is of the mindset to start, for God's sake, start.
Mm-hmm.
And in
go
ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And in terms of economics, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated this regrettable truth. When I say regrettable, I mean, you know, we would prefer that it wasn't true, but unfortunately, regretfully, it is. He stated that many of us as Muslims who consider ourselves God-centered, for those of us who view last Saturday's installment, he said, but how could we be God-centered when we're living in poverty, living from week to week, paycheck to paycheck? So you make a very valid point, dear brother. There has to be, number one, a moral component to this whole economic effort. Because if we don't have a moral component, that is to say, inculcate and practice moral standards. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the restrictive law of Islam is our success.
Right, absolutely.
If we don't have a moral component, then we'll never be successful with the economic component of this economic blueprint. So
right.
You make a valid point, and I can only say, brother, that you, as one who is aware, I don't know what your position is in the and if you are a laborer, then go on and labor. But I'm not trying to be facetious, but since the concern is yours, I'm sure it's not yours alone, but since the concern is yours to the degree that it is present and you voice it, then get started.
Yes, sir.
Get started.
Well, we've done that here on a small mm-hmm. level. And I would say this. When it comes to the moral compass and love, we don't have enough mm-hmm. love inside the mosque amongst each other. In the proper handling of people written by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it says one of the key components is the welfare of the individual believer.
Mm-hmm.
We got believers in the Nation of Islam on food stamps. We don't talk about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
We do not talk about that. We got believers who it's a trial for them just to get to the mosque.
That's right.
People pass by them on the way to the mosque and see them.
Mm-hmm.
So the mindset of Yaqub is prevalent in the minds of some of us when it comes to maybe vanity or being self-righteous or whatever. But the question is, every sister who has children, the first thing when we take in charity, we should be trying to buy some of these houses up to put every woman. It should be no people living in situations with non-believers, as the Quran says. When a Muslim woman live in a foreign environment, she catching hell. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They should be living amongst each other. Single sisters should be. We talk about nation building, but then the point is, are we really doing it? Then we have those who are doing a little bit better than others. They should invest in those who are entrepreneurial. We're not telling them to leave their jobs right away, but invest in the people who are here that are trying, so they can go from being a vendor to a storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, every Sabbath day, David told me, we always talking about what the ethnic people are doing. They're taking the program, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they're applying it. And most of them don't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And my last thing is this. I'm just putting this an economic blueprint. How is
no, you're not, brother.
That foreigners, can come to our country, open up stores in our neighborhoods among the Koreans, other people from India. They know exactly what we want and can turn a store a profit the same year. I was in a hair
mm-hmm.
store a couple weeks ago, owned by some monks. They weren't Koreans, because I know they're monks, they told me. And they had everything in there that the black woman wanted for her hair. And I've seen sisters coming and spending $100. I mean, like it wasn't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have? Why can't we just say, okay, this month for charity and such pool, we're going to do a bookstore, or we're going to open up a laundromat? Because in order to employ our people, we got to do what the messenger said. We got to supply the needs and the wants of black people, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And the last thing I say this, and I'm just putting it out there. I've been in mosques and study group with people be talking about where they hiring at on the plantation. They hiring where you hiring at, brother? Straight up. We talk about do for sale, you know. And the message said, if you got 300 people, you can free yourself. He said, if you got 300 customers, you can free yourself. That's the message of the black man.
That's right.
I don't know what page is on, but I know I can find it. That's the message of black. When I first came into the NOI in 89, I was already a business person. So when I saw about Duke itself, I'm like, man, I'm in the right place. Let's get this on. But that spirit hadn't caught up with all of us. You know, we still had a foot in the mosque and a foot in on the plantation, and there's nothing wrong with a college degree. But I'm gonna tell you one thing. The devil give you a hard time when he know you a Muslim, especially following the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're not gonna be there long. And so at some point we need to take the Ministry of Business and Commerce. Maybe it needs to have its own Day of Atonement Day, like we got for Savior's Day and other. The people who are like-minded in business need to be meeting together in the region, so we can say, look, okay, let's make this happen. Let's make, we're going to do this. Because right now, we're at a standstill. like I said, right now, we got believers in the Nation of Islam, the registered believers that's on food stamps, on WIC, on Section 8, straight up. And I'll just leave it at that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And I want to thank you, dear brother. What's your name?
Brother Rick Aleem Muhammad.
Brother Rick?
Yes, sir.
Yes, brother. Thank you so much for your question.
You're welcome, brother.
And your concern. And you spoke truth, dear brother. And it is, as I said, a regrettable truth. But in fact, it is true. You know, in the book, The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success. The first restrictive law, the number one restrictive law, states, worship no God but Allah, the one the messenger represents to us. And in that expression of worship is, of course, obedience. Obey Allah. Again, the one that the messenger represents to us, and obey his messenger. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. It is a problem of obedience. Obedience. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wrote this on page 174 of Message to the Black Man, again under the chapter Program and Position. He said, acknowledge and recognize that you are a member of the Creator's nation and act accordingly. This action in the name of Allah requires you as a Muslim to set an example for the lost found, your brothers in the wilderness of North America. This requires action and deeds, not words and lip service. The following blueprint shows the way. Number one. Recognize the necessity for unity and group operation, parents and in parentheses, activities. Number two, pool your resources, physically as well as financially. Number three, stop wanton criticisms of everything that is black-owned and black-operated. Number four, keep in mind, jealousy destroys from within. And number five, observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. He continues, if there are six or eight Muslims with knowledge and experience of the grocery business, pool your knowledge. Open a grocery store, and you will work collectively and harmoniously. Allah will bless you with success. If there are those with knowledge of dressmaking, merchandising, trades, maintenance, pool such knowledge. Do not be ashamed to seek guidance and instructions from the brother or sister who has more experience, education, and training than you have. Accept his or her assistance. And of course, he writes much more on the subject in this magnificent book. But the question is, again, a question and problem of obedience. And secondarily, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, according to the history as given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he stated openly, or to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, rather, that he felt like a prisoner in his own home. Why? Because he was managing everything about the nation. Everything about the nation. Because he stated that we were going to lose all that we had worked so hard to get because of mismanagement. And so he was like a prisoner, according to his own words. And we, today, are trying to imprison the one who sits in the seat of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Many of us expect him to do everything, for him to come up with the ideas, the economic thrust, for him to come up with the plan, for him to build the hospitals, for him to build the schools, for him to open up the grocery stores, the business clothing factories, on and on ad infinitum. We are trying to imprison him, but Allah says in the Quran, O messenger, deliver the message, and if thou do it not, thou hast not delivered the message, but if thou do it, I will protect you from men. This is stated because it underscores and illuminates and highlights the messenger's duty. The messenger's duty is not to build business. The messenger's duty is a clear delivery of the message. But unfortunately, again, we who are his followers, and we are sincere, we're just somewhat ignorant. We want to lay that responsibility on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And until and unless we see that it is our obligation to build these things through the uniting of our resources, our knowledge, our skills, our gifts, our nickels, dollars, and dimes, until we see that that is our responsibility, this will be a perennial complaint. The one that you're making, Brother Rick, will be a perennial complaint. Now, we've got to recognize that we have to do this ourselves. And it will start small. But if we stay steadfast and stay the course, we are blessed with the promise that our obedience to Allah God will be rewarded and multiplied according to the scriptures that I read today at the beginning of the show. Thank you so much, dear brother, for your question. And I pray to Allah that something he has allowed me to say will help you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. All right, we're going to take a call from area code 706. Area code 706, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
I seem to recognize that voice.
I think that's Brother Eddie, if I'm not mistaken.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Eddie.
Walaikum salam. I almost got in trouble earlier because I didn't get on the show to listen in on time. We all know who came to get me, so. Don't mind if I sound in a hurry. I'm trying to get in the house so I can get to the charge so my phone don't die on me. But I had a comment that I'd like Brother James to comment on because my comment is kind of a question. If that makes any sense. But you know, I'm here in a small study group here in Augusta. And Augusta, for those who've been in the nation, they know the history. It's been, you know, a study group for many, many years. And we have struggled with many obstacles during the mission here in this city and holding it all together. And because of that struggle is why I love this city so much. Because of that struggle and that challenge. But I wanted to talk or say, don't mind my breath, I was running up the stairs in my apartment complex. But what I wanted to say was, you know, we have to really, and this was brought on by the brother talking about black businesses, we have to really build a family within the mosque. Because we have restrictive laws, and we have the programs, and we have so many charity, and we have posts, but none of those work unless we're first a family. And if you don't have that, none of those really mean anything. Because at the end of the day, the Nation of Islam is voluntary. You know, now the judgment is involuntary, you know, whether you follow man of God or not, but in essence, the Nation of Islam is voluntary. And if we're not truly nurturing one another's spirit as brothers and sisters first, then we won't be successful in anything. You know, I've seen brothers come and go because they did not feel that family feeling, or did not understand the best way to solve a disagreement, and held on to those feelings for years or days or months or whatever length. And really, and I was talking to another believer today, and the believer was talking about, you know, being away from the mosque and going to another mosque and stuff like that. And it impressed upon me that we really have to focus on that. You know, the Holy Quran says that the true friend of a believer is Allah, the messenger, and a true believer. You know, and we come to do the missionaries of our people, but we come to the nation to build a family. You know, Allah doesn't care for our blood relatives, but he cares about the believers. Because blood doesn't make you truly a family or not. But the fact that we are in a minority, truly a minority, because we're the few. I mean, the prophets prophesied that only 144,000 would be. And out of 7 billion people, that's a very, very, very small percentage. I know we're in a mission to beat prophecy, because our sole mission is delivery of the 40 to 50 million. But we're a very small group of people who have accepted the reality of God. And if the idea of us being a family, of being truly brothers, then we can't grow and work together. You know, coming to the mosque is not just making a number of meetings in order to reach your quota so you're not on bad standing. It's about being around believers. Now, I've heard some of us say, you know, you know, I'm staying away because I'm trying to get my mind right or something. And sometimes I can understand. And I say that out of experience. But running from brotherhood is not good, because it's the only thing that keeps us pure in a world that is always pulling on us. And even when we have strife in the mosque, or we have strife amongst one another, it is our duty to use the tools given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, all that great teaching, to heal those issues. You know, we use the teachings as such a tool to waken the dead, drop heavy points, and be in the streets, you know, breaking concrete with the power of our words, but we don't use that same energy to build relationships within the mosque. We should be more focused on doing that, and when we focus on that, then you build a strong bond. I learned that not just from being in the mosque, but also just my family. The mistakes my father made and his successes, and understanding now how to do it better than he had done. Because I'm struggling to overcome things and do that with my family. You know, so that's what I wanted really to say. That's really what I was thinking about and wanted to share with us. The energy of any teaching, you get to build a family in your mosque. Yeah, we're posts and we have general orders, but we truly are a nation. And a nation is not just people saluting superior. Though we have that structure for a reason, it is valuable. But at the same time, like I call my captain sometimes when I have an issue. I came, I was mad, I was cussing on the phone. I just called him 12 o'clock at night. He answered the phone and talked through it, and I was back on it the next day. You know, if I could only come to him about a paper order, he really couldn't be that good to me. But I was able to come to him with a personal issue. So, and because of that, I went through something. I'm still on the same mission, you know. So that's really all I wanted to say, and is to share some words and just tell y'all I love y'all, all y'all, even though I haven't met you. And hope to see y'all on Save the Day or David Tony in Tuskegee. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Eddie. Thank you.
Salam, Brother Eddie.
Thank you. As always, your statements are very profound and welcomed here on this show, dear brother. And you're absolutely right. You know what came to mind when you were making your statement was something that our student minister, Brother Rasul Muhammad of the 7th Region, shared with me. He asked the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan the question. He stated, or asked, rather, Brother Minister, when will we become a nation? And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's reply was, when we start looking beyond our noses. Now that's an interesting reply, and as I think about it, when we focus on our noses, our eyes have to, of a physical necessity, become crossed, and our vision then becomes distorted. He was also referencing in the deeper sense that, you know, our focus is on our personal needs, our wants, and our desires, and how everything else around us affects or ill affects our wants, our needs, and our desires. He was also sharing that we need to think for the whole. And this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, brother, think for the whole. Think for the whole. That's much easier said than done. Of course, you know, we always say that the first law of survival is self-preservation. Yeah, that's true. But we have to think for not only the individual self, we have to think for the collective self, which is the self of our people. And then we have to speak for the connected self. And the connective self, that's a phrase that I coined by the grace of Allah, connective self means our relationship with other people, other nations, other ethnicities, even other races. And then we have the collective self, which means that we have to think about all life on the planet, all life on the planet. But we have to think beyond our noses. We have to see beyond our noses. We have to understand in the greater scheme of things that we, in our individual selves, are but an almost unmentionable infinitesimal speck in the span of the universe. And we have to be willing to forego, if necessary, some of our personal wants, desires, and yes, even our needs for the good of the whole, for the good of the whole. And as I said, that's easier said than done. But we have a marvelous example in the person and the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a marvelous example of unselfishness and selflessness. And that is rooted in his faith and in his belief and even knowledge now of the God and his Christ and their ability and promise to back him. He doesn't worry about the personal needs of self. And so Allah has freed him because of his faith to think clearly for the whole. All we need to do is follow his example on our level. Follow his example. Think for your brother and your sister. If you're a laborer in the mosque, think for the mosque. If you're a regional laborer, think for the region. And then beyond that, and everything that we do, it must be with the larger plan in mind. Not our personal aspirations, and there's nothing wrong with having them. I got some myself. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to think for the larger plan, for the mass on our level, and be obedient to that one whom God has freed in mind and in spirit and in faith to do just that. Think for the whole. So thank you, Brother Eddie, for your statement there, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know what's happening with the phones. We just got an influx of a lot of people. So let me remind you, those of you who are just joining us, if you have a question or comment for Student Minister James, please press 1 on your dial pad. Those of you who cannot get into Blog Talk chat room, please chat with me on Yahoo, and that's grmuhammad@yahoo.com, or hit me on Gmail at Gidget, G-I-D-G-E-T, Muhammad@gmail, and I will take your question. Okay, I think our lines are overloaded, Brother James. Okay, I have a question from Sister Cambry for Allah, that's her name. She says she wants to go back to Sister Tia's question. I feel we have not advanced because we teach each other, but we don't teach the Spanish-speaking Asian and indigenous natives that they are part of the original family. Your thoughts?
You know, that's an excellent observation. I don't think that we teach enough to that broader audience. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, as he points to the prayer of our brother Abraham, I think it was Abraham, or was it Moses? I don't profess to be a Quranic or Islamic scholar, so please bear with me.
And you know, but I can't prayer, help
you. The prayer to extend his breast, to be able to have the capacity to accept more of our people. I'm going to ask if there are any who are listening in the nation or out. You're never out of the nation. But in the nation who are quote-unquote Latino or quote-unquote Haitian or Caribbean, Native American. I would ask you, please, accept the responsibility of carrying this message to your particular culture. Because you're absolutely right, my dear sister, but I need to learn how to speak Spanish and French and the other languages, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we all need to learn. However, for those of you who speak it and know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message is the truth, then bring that message to you. I hate to say your people because they're my people too. Or bring it to our people who are of that ethnic persuasion, that language. You do it. Certainly is not enough of it being done. I would agree with you 1,000%. But dear sister, dear brother, those of you who are listening, you don't need a title. You don't need a post. You need the knowledge of your obligation. And your obligation is to deliver the message. We are all messengers of the messenger. So we have that obligation. Please, I implore you, those of you who can speak the different languages and dialects, please go to those of your people who do speak different languages. Bring the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You have access to the books. You have access to the lectures. You have access to the Final Call newspaper. You take that information that is written in English and put it in that language that you know that will reach a broader audience of people. You do that. It's on you. It's on us, but it's on you. Thank you for your expressed concerns and your question, my dear sister. And be patient with us. We are working on it. We're improving. But, you know, we need your help. So don't worry about being appointed to a post. Don't worry about being having a title or anything. Stand up and take the message and spread it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we're going to take a call from the line. Area code 770, your mic is live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Eugenio.
Oh, how you doing, soldier?
I'm doing great, Student Mr. James. How you doing this afternoon, Sister Azizu? Okay, I have two questions. That's so great. All praises due to Allah. I have two questions. In the Messenger's Economic Blueprint number 4,
okay,
it talks about jealousy and how it destroys from within.
That's right.
Can you go into depth on the reason why jealousy can do this in regards to business development? That's the first question. And my second question talks about, I'm quoting the messenger here, the white man spends his money with his own kind, which is natural. My question is, why are we having trouble spending money with our own kind? And
mm-hmm.
I'll just thank you for taking my call, and I'll just listen.
Okay. Thank you, dear brother. Let's look at the word jealousy. Give me a moment if you don't mind. Okay, the word jealousy is defined as jealous resentment against a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage, etc., or against another's success or advantage itself. Number 2, a mental uneasiness from suspicion or fear of rivalry, unfaithfulness, etc., as in love or aims. Number 3, vigilance in maintaining or guarding something. Number 4, a jealous feeling, disposition, state, or mood. Herein is offered 2 contexts of the meaning. The negative context, of course, is resentment against one who is perceived as a rival. And that rival is enjoying success or advantage. And number 2, again, the negative aspect is a mental uneasiness from suspicion or fear of rivalry, unfaithfulness, etc. Now let's deal with the negative. Jealousy in this context means that I define your success as a threat against my own and my desire for success. When I see you gaining, I immediately think that your gain is my loss. Gives me a mental uneasiness because you become my rival. And this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is recorded as saying the same. A brother is not a Muslim, or a person is not a Muslim, unless he wants for his brother what he wants for himself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if a Muslim has a bowl of bean soup, half of that bowl belongs to his brother and or his sister. If we don't think that way, then we are not Muslim, not practicing true Islam. Now, the positive aspect of jealousy is vigilance in maintaining or guarding something. God says in the Bible, I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, that's a positive aspect of jealousy. You see? The jealousy that we should be most fearful of is the jealousy that leads to that irredeemable quality called envy. Because envy is more than just wanting what your brother or sister has. Envy is wanting to have it, but also wanting to deprive your brother and sister of it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that envy is an irredeemable quality. So, that's why jealousy must be guarded against, for what it is and for what it potentially can lead to. Now, the other part of your question, dear brother, can you repeat it, the other part of your question?
The second part?
Yes, sir, the second
part,
Brother Eugenio. Yes, sir.
I'm quoting the messenger here from the message to the black man.
Mm-hmm.
The white man spends his money with his own kind, which is natural. My question, why are we having trouble spending money with our own kind?
Very good. Thank you. This is as a result of our sojourn of slavery here in America and what the white man has done through Jim Crow. I'd like to read from the text of the message that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered last Saturday. This is what he stated, and please bear with me. Under the title, Money in Black Hands, Seen by the Enemy as a Weapon of Mass White Destruction. The question is posed, how did we become a nation of consumers? Did you know that is learned behavior from our experience in slavery? And then the sharecropping system. But we must know our history to understand it. When most blacks emerged from slavery, most of us tried to get as far away from our former slave masters and their plantations as possible. We even set up more than 60 all-black towns where we had our own government and began a strong tradition of do-for-self without the oversight of our former slave masters. Many of these 60 black towns were in Indian territories. Did you know that the Native American or the Native people have lots of land and resources, mineral strength today? But the enemy is right on the Indian land, taking the gas, taking the uranium, taking whatever their lands have and giving them nothing. Suppose we and our Native brothers found a way to unite. We help them with the knowledge we have, and the land is there, and we help. He continues to state, however, brothers and sisters, you can't go to your brother with the mentality of your former slave master to take advantage of others. You have to go with the mind of one who wants to serve them, and in so doing, you help yourself. Guess what? The minister asks. When the enemy saw us building those 60 towns, did you know they helped to destroy all 60 of those towns and began to set up a series of laws that came to be known as Jim Crow laws? Their purpose was to return blacks as close as possible to the state of slavery that we had previously been in. And most important, to force us back into the cotton fields to keep the cotton-based economy from collapsing. Under these wicked laws, money in the hands of blacks was treated as though it was a weapon of mass white destruction. I read on. Under Jim Crow, whites made it illegal to sell property to blacks, and blacks were forbidden by law to sell their own farm products without written permission from a Caucasian, thus criminalizing black business enterprise. We couldn't get justice in the court system because they came up with a law that said Negro testimony would not be accepted unless that testimony was verified by a white man. A white man could walk into your home, take whatever he wanted, including your cotton or your corn harvest or your daughter or your wife, and we had no legal recourse. All of this was done, and it was not even considered a crime. Also, if blacks tried to save and invest their earnings, their money could be confiscated. So under Abraham Lincoln, blacks established something like the Free Man's Bureau. Notice, the minister writes, the past participle of the verb to free, that is freedman, that's not something that we did for ourselves. That's something that somebody else did for us. We never freed ourselves. We were freed by them, and therefore we're still singing, "We Shall Overcome." You're not free until you know the truth that will set you free. Now, there's more, and I would encourage you, Brother Eugenio, as well as all who are listening, to get the final call. You should have it if you haven't gotten it. Get it and read it in this excerpt from the minister's 32nd installment of The Time and What Must Be Done. This kind of reluctance and even abhorrence of spending with ourselves was breeded into us conditionally and through circumstance over decades of being forced to spend with white people. That, coupled with the Willie Lynch syndrome that is still alive and well in many of the minds of our people, wherein we discriminate against each other on the basis of differences. See, it's all historic or historical, and it all comes back to our sojourn here in America as slaves. We are suffering residual effects of that experience, yet unrevealed, and certainly not fully known. So this consumption of black people as a consumer nation, as a buying people, and more to the point of your question, Brother Eugenio, how we buy, have such a large propensity to buy with our enemies, is rooted in all of that experience, dear brother, and it's going to take some work to get it out of us. So that's what you see happening, dear brother, and that's some of the reason why. But we can overcome it, and we shall overcome it, not in the tradition of that old gospel that is sung day in and day out, protest in and protest out, "We shall overcome." No, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us overcome. The truth, in fact, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is delivering, that will make us free, will make us also overcome the shackles, residual though they may be, of our slave experience here in America. So that's some of the reason why. I pray, Brother Eugenio, that what we have said has helped you in an answer to your question. Always wonderful to hear from you, dear brother. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to come off of mute. I'm sorry.
Before you go on,
Brother Chris, do you want me to make this comment, this type in, yes or no? Okay, go ahead, Brother James. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to tell you to tell Brother Kareem that I'm going to send him a spiritual knock upside his head because I am sick for not being here.
Yes, sir, I will definitely deliver that message. And I'm still waiting on Florida. I'm waiting on two brothers in particularly, Brother Calvin and Brother Joseph. I'm waiting on you all to call in and ask your questions. And also we have a question from Sister Dana. She says, please explain why all the black Muslims do not work together. How different is it from the Christian churches that are also divided? Islam is supposed to be a unifying faith, but there are so many blacks in all sects of Islam, and we are all in America suffering the same.
Well, that's an excellent question. And that syndrome of division is not specific and relegated to anyone, actually, of the black community. It has ill affected us all. The reason why sectarianism exists, even though in the Quran Allah speaks against it and warns his prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, of it, there's something in the ego that even though we read it, we still don't subscribe to it, yet profess that this is our book. Allah says in the Quran that the people didn't get divided until knowledge came. He said that the people divided themselves up into sects and parties, each of them glorying in their own, meaning their own understanding, due in many cases to envy. Now, Allah foresaw that this condition would be prevalent among those who profess his name and profess the name of his prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him. But Allah speaks clearly against sectarianism, exalting your sect or your understanding of his word, your interpretation. Allah says in the Quran, in the second surah, he states, in this book, there is no doubt in it. It is a guide for those who believe. And he further states that none, unequivocally, unqualified, none knows his interpretation except Allah, period. And those firmly rooted in knowledge say, we believe in it, it is all from Allah. Well, if we would read that and understand that, then that would be the death of sectarianism. That's not what Allah has put forward. And if Prophet Muhammad were here, peace be upon him, and you asked him, well, Brother Muhammad, what kind of Muslim are you? He would think you were crazy. He'd look at you like you were crazy. He gave us the Sunnah, but he did not say, you are Sunni. But again, he stated in his last speech before he physically departed, he said, three generations after me, dear sister, will not be of me. Three generations. That was 1,400 years ago. How many generations have passed that, according to his word, are not of him? So you're absolutely right there, sister, but that's something that we've just got to correct. We've just got to correct it. And I would say to you, dear sister, don't become disenchanted with Islam. I can understand your disenchantment and disappointment with those of us who profess it, but don't really practice it according to Allah's word in the Quran. But you don't become disenchanted with it. You stick to the Quran. Stick to what Allah is saying. And for those who wish to exalt their sex over another, then if they're willing, if they're receptive, point out to them what Allah says in the Quran. He says, surely I created man into tribes, or in tribes, so that ye will know one another and not despise one another. But, you know, we get things in our hand, and that's the end of its pristine purity. So, sister, you hold fast to the rope of Islam. In the final analysis, we're all going to come together anyway, especially those of us who are quote-unquote black Muslims. Because we're going to catch hell whether we're Muslim, Christian, atheist, nationalist, agnostic, whatever. We're going to catch hell. We are catching hell, and we're going to continue to catch hell as long as we keep erecting these foolish walls that divide us one against the other on the basis of dogma or school of thought or interpretation, which in reality it all boils down to ego and vanity. And so Allah says, on the day of resurrection, I will judge between you on that and in that with which you differ. So he's going to set it all straight, sister, but you hold on to the word of Allah. And those Muslims that are advocating the unity of Islam, the oneness of Allah expressed through the unity of Islam, then you stick with them. But if you hear people talking about their sect, their understanding, their interpretation is the right way, the right religion, the right tawhid, the right al-qida to the implication that others are wrong, you stay away from them. And you can find no other Muslim more advocate or more advocating of the unity of all Muslims, and not only all Muslims, but all Christians and all Jews, than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you for your question and your expressed concern, my dear sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have a question from Brother Calvin. He said, at one time, us to get past. And now he wants. Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up really bad. This is, I didn't hear.
Oh, okay.
Any of
I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we have a question from Brother Calvin. And Brother Calvin asks, he said, at one time the minister asked us to get passports. Why has the message changed? And now he has instructed us to pool our resources to buy up cities like Detroit. I am just trying to understand the difference between the two messages.
Yes, ma'am. The message, in fact, has not changed at all. The reason why he exhorts us to get passports, because we may ultimately have to travel out of America to a place of safety. That's one reason. But we should, Allah says in the Quran, travel in the land and see what was the destiny, if you will. I don't think that's the proper word. But see what was the end of those who went before you in other places. Travel and learn all about yourself. I'm saying that now. And, of course, we can't travel in any broad sense without a passport. But the message hasn't changed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, gave to us the student enrollments, and with that, the actual facts. He was actually giving us the parameters of what we owned. He stated in question number one of the student enrollments, when he posed, who is the original man? The question was, and the answer was. The question was, and then the answer is, the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, the God of the universe, the owner of the earth. Well, then what does he own? The earth is 196,940,000 square miles in its entirety. So we own it all. So if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan exhorts us to get passports that we may travel to see some of what we own and to supervise what we own in foreign, so-called foreign lands, he is also very justified to tell us to buy up what we have right here around us because that's ours too. All 196,940,000 square miles. Huh? So the message hasn't changed. It all belongs to you, sister. It all belongs to us. So let's travel when we can. And let's buy up where we are. Thank you for your question, and may Allah continue to bless us. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Okay, and we have a question from 563. I think we know who this is, too, Brother James. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Leon. Your mic is live.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you? And
how are you?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Leon.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How you doing, sir?
On top of the world, by Allah's grace, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for this. Good to know that. Just got one little question to ask, brother. What is the attitude that we should have towards, how could I say it, Muslims from other countries that when you see a person like I'd be in the community with the Final Call News, but I'd have the police called on me, everything by Arab Muslims, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is how do you what is the attitude that we should have towards them when we see them doing wrong, such as like, you know, trying to prostitute black women, you know, because I don't want to come across in a vulgar manner, you know, and represent the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I see this going on, you know, they come in this store, they give like subtle hints, you know, and I see this going on, but I don't want to be vulgar at the same time. I want to keep my Islam.
Understood, dear brother. Listen, you have the teaching and you are an FOI, so you have the training.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to say this. Call on the God that you believe in and then follow your heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was my question. That's all I need.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise to Allah. Thank you, Brother Leon.
Thank you, brother.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
All right. We have a question from Brother James. He says, I often hear the Muslims say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is Christ. Here lately, I hear them say that Minister Farrakhan is Christ. If Minister Farrakhan is now Christ, what is the position of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
That's a good question, but I have to offer some clarity. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has never referred to himself as Christ. He has always and ever referred to himself as the representative of the Christ. Unless anyone can show me explained to me a lecture that I hadn't heard, and that doesn't mean that it hadn't been said, but I hadn't heard him say that he is the Christ. However, I have heard him say that any representative of anyone has to be a little one, partially of that one. And the scripture refers to us as all being members in the body of Christ, and the whole is the sum total of all of its parts. That's a mathematical reality. So in that context, we who represent the Christ have to be little ones ourselves. But I have never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say that he is the Christ at all. No. He has always said, as far as I know and understand, that he is the representative of the arisen and the exalted and ascended Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But let me just say this too, as we close, as we're getting ready to reach the closing hour. Listen, the scripture says, my dear brother, it was a brother, right, that asked this question?
Yes.
Or a man.
Yes, his name is Brother James.
Brother James? I like that name, Brother
James. Yes, Brother James.
Yes. But the scripture says, let this mind be in you. This is what Paul was exhorting us to do. Let this mind be in you, the same that is in Christ Jesus. Well, if my mind is the same mind that Christ Jesus has, then he and I are one in mind and in spirit. So we can look at it like that. Think about it and do further research, dear brother. Thank you, Brother James, for your question. May Allah continue to bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Let me see. We have... Okay, no, not that one. Okay, it says, spending outside of our community cripples us. When we teach our people, we often teach on an emotional level, but we do not teach survival. How do we best do that?
That's from
Sister Leah.
Sister Leah. Thank you, Sister Leah. Given the broadness of your question, because we do teach survival, first and foremost on the individual level, survival through How to Eat to Live, books 1 and 2. Eating the proper foods at the proper time. That is definitely a teaching of survival. To store food against the time of want. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and the minister continues to teach us that. That, in fact, is teaching survival. See, it's a very, very broad statement. Now, there are other aspects of survival, such as disaster preparedness, where in groups and certain representatives of the Nation of Islam are going from city to city instructing in disaster preparedness. That's another aspect of survival. So we do teach it, dear sister. Perhaps it's not going on enough where you are, but I would say to you, teach the survival principles found in How to Eat to Live by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then the broader survival principles found in Message to the Black Man, particularly in that section entitled Program and Position. So thank you for your question, dear sister. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, Brother James, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, good, because my phone is acting up. I can't even see my screen anymore. All praises due to Allah. I thought I had lost you all forever. Okay, well, that's the last 2 minutes. So it's the last 2 minutes. So, Brother James, do you have a closing statement that you want to make pertaining to this particular series that the minister did, Part 32?
Well, yes, ma'am. Once again, I want to thank our listening and participating audience. You are so very, very, very valuable, and I do not take any one of you for granted. I thank Allah for the wonderful blessing that you all have taken time out of your busy schedules to spend time with us on our show, Put On the New Man. I want to also say that it is essential, and it's really not optional, that those of us who have access view the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's weekly lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. Remember, Allah says in the Quran, by the time, surely man is in loss. Well, how is man in loss? By the time. Time dictates agenda. And if man is not aware, or woman is not aware of the time, then what agenda can we form for our preservation, our survival, and our progress on into the future? So it's not optional. Let's tune in to The Time and What Must Be Done. I am so looking forward to installment number 33. I miss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I really miss looking at his beautiful face, but certainly he's not absent. He definitely is not absent, as long as his truth is here. So, brothers and sisters, thank you again. I want to turn it over to Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, also known as Sister Gidget Muhammad. The closing remarks are yours.
Okay, I just want to give you the announcement. First of all, I want to apologize for those of you who tuned in last night, and I was not on the air. I was a little bit under the weather, but inshallah, of course, I'll be back next Thursday. So join us tomorrow with Brother Ronnie for Young, Gifted, and Black, and also that's at 8 o'clock Central. On Sunday, join us for our No Romance Without Finance show with Brother Vernon. That's at 6:30 on Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Central. And on Monday, join us for Brother Kareem, if Brother James has not knocked him out by then, on Monday night at 8 p.m. Central for Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, join us for Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam with Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta at 8 p.m. Central. On Wednesday, join us for Hip Hop and Comedy with DJ Black Caesar at 7 p.m. Central. And, of course, like I said, I'll be back next Thursday with something, I promise, inshallah. I will be live and in living color. And of course, next Friday, join us once again for Student Minister James Muhammad as we talk about The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 33. And I apologize, I got ahead of myself in the advertisement because I think I said 34. But we'll be definitely be covering Part 33 next week. And we also may have some very special guests for you. So please join in. Please participate. And I want to make the emphasis on the fact that this is study group. And when you are studying, you have to ask questions to get clarity. So I don't want anyone of you to feel shy or apprehensive about asking your questions. This is what study group is for. It is for us to learn. There are no dumb questions. The only dumb question there is the one that remains unasked. So we are family. We are sisters and brothers. We are all growing in Islam. Brother James has been in over 40 years. I've been in over 40 years, but we are still growing in our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of Islam. So please, all of you, please don't hesitate to participate. You can ask your questions anonymously if you feel that you need to, but please join us, and we want to hear your lovely voices. So thank all of you who flooded the phone lines, but in spite of the few questions we got, you all were very quiet tonight, but I thank you for your love, your support. I thank all of you on Google. I love my Yahoo Nation. I love my Twitter family. Thank you, Brother Chris Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Eugenio. Eugenio, who kept me busy in the chat room tonight. Thank all of you so very much. And may Allah continue to bless us all with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I leave you as we came before you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.